A terrific Tuesday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It's going to be an exciting night at the FedEx Forum as the Golden State Warriors arrive to face off against the Memphis Grizzlies. But before that, some updates on both the trade and injury front for the Grizzlies, plus a fun early career comparison for Desmond Bane before getting into breaking down Grizzlies versus Warriors. All that and much more on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Hope wherever you are, wherever you're listening, and wherever you are watching, you are having an outstanding start to your Tuesday. Obviously, you can find myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz. You can find the podcast wherever it's available: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app, free on all platforms. Listen, review, subscribe. Let us know what you think of the show. We're always wanting to make sure that we're presenting content that's relevant to our listeners' preferences. You can also find the show here on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button below. Thank you so much for the support recently that we've seen. Let's others be able to find the show. Let's us know you enjoy the show. My name's Sean Coleman. I'm a credentialed media member with the Grizzlies. Have been covering the team now for 4 years. Your host here at Locked On Grizzlies. Your Grizzlies every single day. And so, yes, the Memphis Grizzlies now 9 straight wins, a franchise record 9 straight wins, and the accolades just keep on coming in. After 5 straight victories in 7 days last week, Ja Morant once again was named Western Conference Player of the Month. The first Grizzlies player, the first player this season to win Player of the Month twice in a row, but also, even more importantly, the first Grizzlies player ever to win Conference Player of the Week in back-to-back weeks, once again proving that he's a talent unlike anything we've ever seen. And of course, Ja Morant has needed, the Grizzlies have needed Ja Morant to step up and play like he has, obviously, for them to have a singular presence that matches up against anybody in the league that they've been playing, and Ja Morant certainly has done that. And one of the biggest reasons why, of course, is that the Grizzlies have been without some of their most notable players for significant stretches over the past 6 weeks. Well, there's both good and positive news. Obviously, the negative news is that, you know, when it comes to Dylan Brooks, you know, and it was confirmed by Woj on NBA Today with Malika Andrews yesterday, Dylan Brooks will be out 3 to 5 weeks. I discussed it a bit in detail yesterday, but it does seem as if the Grizzlies are going to give, you know, or that Dylan Brooks will be out 3 to 5 weeks. It does seem like a very, you know, logical time for him to come back would be the second half of the season, would be after the All-Star break, which is 5 weeks away, you know, from now till the All-Star break. And of course, that one of the big things that comes from the Grizzlies now having won 19 out of 23 games is that with Dylan having this injury, they don't need to rush him back. Because on the injury front overall, it actually was a big positive, because Dylan Brooks now is the only player who for certain is out for tonight's game against the Golden State Warriors. Every other Grizzlies player who has been in health and safety protocols besides Coach Taylor Jenkins, every other player now seems to be available. Potentially, Steven Adams is questionable for tonight's game. It'll be interesting, as a few others noted. Typically, the Grizzlies, when a player is listed questionable, he's going to be available to play. But for tonight's game, and the last time we saw players come out of health and safety protocols, they did not play. That was John Conchar and Xavier Tillman over the weekend. So when it comes to Steven Adams, you certainly hope he plays. He'd be a big advantage for the Grizzlies, especially when it came to getting extra possessions against a team you want to have as many possessions against. In the Golden State Warriors, it'll be interesting to see whether or not he suits up, but it's at least encouraging that he now is available in health, out of health and safety protocols. So when it comes to Ja Morant's outstanding play, it's been an incredible run, a big reason why the Grizzlies have won 9 in a row, but also it's been needed with who's been out for the Grizzlies. But thankfully, overall, Dylan Brooks is a big loss, and I think at some points we're going to feel his loss. Could an example of that could be tonight against the Warriors. We're going to feel his absence. He's a significant, impactful player for the Grizzlies, but thankfully the Grizzlies' depth overall, it's only Dylan Brooks right now who is injured, and that should mean that the Grizzlies can, you know, even more so, benefit from their complete assortment of players moving on, especially without one of their best defensive talents. But that's not all that Woj talked about on NBA Today yesterday. Him and Malika Andrews also talked about the Grizzlies, who, you know, have emerged, and you see in many power rankings now across the NBA or across different outlets that cover the NBA, the Grizzlies are in the top five of power rankings, and rightfully so. There's no team that's hotter in the Western Conference than the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies would actually be leading the Eastern Conference right now with their 28-14 record. They are playing like one of the five best teams in the NBA, and that's what makes tonight so exciting, because you're going to see a matchup of two of the five best teams right now in the NBA. That's how awesome of a run it's been for the Grizzlies and where it's put them against other teams in the NBA. So the thought process is that if the Grizzlies are up there now compared to, you know, they're among the top five teams in the NBA, they should clearly have enough reason to be a true buyer, to be a team that potentially could go for it this year with a significant type of move at the trade deadline. But as I've discussed, as we've seen many other discuss now that we're within a month of the trade deadline, the big thing that stands out is that the Grizzlies just don't have a lot of, you know, reason to go out and do something dramatic. And that's exactly the word that Woj used on NBA Today yesterday. He talked about how the Grizzlies, it would take a pretty unique situation for them to do something dramatic. Those are close to his exact words on the situation. And what I take away from that is this. The Grizzlies have a front office that is consistently going to be active. They're consistently going to be aggressive. They're going to be creative. They're going to be always open to the right move if it makes sense. But when I see Woj talk about dramatic, what that makes me think is that you're not going to see the Grizzlies make a move like they did at the 2020 trade deadline, where they traded away a Jay Crowder and a Solomon Hill, two players who likely could have helped the Grizzlies make the playoffs as they were in place to do before the suspension of the season in 2020. You're not going to see the Grizzlies trade those type of players to go after a Justice Winslow, as the Grizzlies were basically taking a gamble to pay off for them to get a player they wanted for the future. I don't think you're going to see the Grizzlies take relevant rotation players this year, combine them together, and take a gamble on getting someone that they hope could help them out for the future. I don't think that type of trade is going to happen. On the flip side, I also don't think that you're going to see the Grizzlies pay a big price for a player to come in and be a part of the Grizzlies rotation. I think what Woj is basically saying is that you're not going to see the Grizzlies get into a bidding war for like a Jeremy Grant or a Harrison Barnes or somebody along those lines. Now, if a Jaylen Brown or a player that clearly helps the Grizzlies now, but also could be a big part of their core as they get closer to contention over the next few years, if that type of player is made available, then you could see it happen. And I think also dramatic doesn't mean that you could see the Grizzlies make a smaller move. Something I'm an advocate of is that if the Grizzlies are not going to keep a Kyle Anderson or a Tyus Jones, I think that a Kyle Anderson is someone that you could move in the right situation, get assets, but then also go out and get another player to take Kyle Anderson's position that you could have for next year. But in the end of the day, the point is this: the Grizzlies are not going to be making moves just to make moves. They're not going to do anything dramatic in order to change up the roster that is playing so well together. As I mentioned, this roster, because of how well it's done over the past calendar year, it deserves to see this thing through, to get everybody healthy and see just how far it can go. And the Grizzlies franchise itself clearly loves how this roster is playing. So all in all, it goes back to a trade just not being of the biggest priority for this team at this point in time. I do feel they can make a move still, even if it's a lower level, minor move that could help them out this year and next year. But at the end of the day, I do think it's unlikely we see anything that the Grizzlies do that will change up what they've got going on, because again, it comes back to the simple fact that we still have not been able to see this Grizzlies team with its best players playing together over an extended stretch of time. And I think that's something the Grizzlies are going to put faith in instead of going and changing things up significantly by making a big move at the deadline. But of course, that doesn't mean that things couldn't get interesting this summer. And obviously, we'll have plenty of time to discuss that. But what we do know is that the Grizzlies are set up very well to be competitive against the best teams in the West as they are currently constructed. And the big reason for that is Desmond Bane. But a fun comparison for Desmond Bane will be on the court tonight with him. This will be only the second time Klay Thompson has taken the court in over 940 days. And the last time that he took the court, 10 of the Grizzlies' current 15 players or two-way players were not in the league. But one particular Grizzly compares highly favorably to Klay Thompson, and that's Desmond Bane. I'll show you why here in just a moment. But before we get to that, I want to talk a bit about BetOnline.ag. Listen, the Grizzlies earlier in the year, they weren't one of the best teams in the NBA to bet against because they were so up and down when it came to their play. But now they're one of the NBA's best bets. And if you enjoy betting and wagering on sports, one of the best places for you to go is BetOnline.ag. Check out their website or check it out on a mobile device. Put in the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 50%, a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Check out the NFL, the NCAA basketball, NHL, whatever you choose to enjoy, UFC, you can bet and wager on it over at BetOnline.ag. Check out BetOnline.ag today. On tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, this is a very tough stretch for the Grizzlies. Last week, it was the frequency of games. Now the Grizzlies are getting into a very interesting stretch when it comes to the quality of their opponent. We'll react to the game against the Warriors, plus look at the Grizzlies' remaining schedule through the month of January as it continues to be tough, but then lightens up just a bit as they go forward into the month of January. That and much more on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So Desmond Bane, Evan Barnes of the Commercial Appeal. I know we talk a lot about Desmond Bane's shooting, and obviously he's a person to talk about with how impressive his shooting has been. But Evan Barnes of the Commercial Appeal yesterday brought up a really, really fun stat when it came to Desmond Bane. Because, you know, we talk about Desmond Bane in terms of the Grizzlies and that, you know, he's well on his way to setting a new franchise record for three-pointers in a season. Right now, he's even ahead of the pace that Mike Miller played at when Mike Miller hit 201 threes as a franchise record for the Grizzlies back in the 06-07 season. Well, Evan Barnes brought up yesterday a really fun stat. This season, Desmond Bane, among the top 10 players in the league, when it comes to most three-pointers made, in which Desmond Bane is fifth, among those 10 players, Desmond Bane has the highest three-point percentage. But then again, among the 10 qualified players in the NBA, with the 10 best three-point percentages in the league, Desmond Bane has hit the most threes. So it goes back to the thing that I and others have been talking about over the past year when it comes to Desmond Bane shooting, what sets him apart at a young age, what makes him not only one of the best young shooters in the league, but one of the best young shooters in NBA history, plus one of the best shooters in the game today. Very few, and this year, no one has put together the quantity and the quality of shooting the three that Desmond Bane has. Now, I'm not saying he's the best three-point shooter in the league. He's not. That's Steph Curry. Buddy Hield, I think, is a more productive shooter than Desmond Bane right now. A few others are in the conversation. But in terms of combining quantity and quality, there are very few, if any, who are doing it better than Desmond Bane right now. And there are also very few who have done it in NBA history up to this point in the season. When you look at Desmond Bane and through 42 games, Desmond Bane has 122 threes, is shooting 42.8% from the field, and has a 59.5% true shooting percentage on the season so far. I looked at, in NBA history, through 42 games, players that have made 120 or more threes had a 42.5% or better three-point shooting percentage and a 59 or better true shooting percentage. Seeing just how rare it was for players to have combined the quantity of three-pointers that they were making with the quality of shot selection, with the proof that their three-point shooting was usually the best shot of that possession. They were showing excellent shot selection along with being a highly reliable source of three, game in and game out. The players that had done that, the players that threw 42 games in a single season, that had 120 or more threes, that had a 42.5% or better three-point shooting percentage and a 59% or better true shooting percentage, the few players over the past couple of years that have done that, and it's only been done 13 times. Desmond Bane's the only one this year, but here's the players that have done it recently. Zach LaVine, Joe Harris, Duncan Robinson, Davis Bertans. Buddy Hield did it in the 2018-2019 season. Kyle Lowry, Kyle Korver have also done it. But the only players that have done it two or more times are Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. That is correct. The only two players that have done what Desmond Bane is doing this year multiple times in their career in NBA history are Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Now, I'm not sitting here suggesting that Desmond Bane is going to be Steph Curry or Klay Thompson in time. If he is, the Grizzlies are in an absolutely wonderful position. But I think it's unfair to put those expectations on Klay Thompson. He's not going to be as good of an offensive player as Steph Curry. He's not going to be as good of a two-way player than Klay Thompson in time. At least that's what I feel is a reasonable projection of Desmond Bane. However, I've mentioned it before, and I do feel that this is an accurate description of Desmond Bane, as we've seen what company he is keeping with how well he's shooting this year. I think that a very good comparable for Desmond Bane at his age and how well he's producing, I think that a young Klay Thompson is a very accurate description of Desmond Bane. I'm, again, not saying that Desmond Bane is going to be as good of a player as Klay Thompson. I don't think that Desmond Bane is going to reach that type of defensive ceiling. That's nothing against Desmond Bane. It's just a compliment to how good of a defender Klay Thompson has been, especially before his recent injury. But check this out. Comparing Desmond Bane's age 23 season, his second season in the NBA at the age of 23, versus Klay Thompson's 2015-2016 season at the age of 25. On a per 36-minute basis, and I'll include this as a picture on Twitter, promoting the show. On a per 36-minute basis, here's how the numbers stack up. Desmond Bane this year, 47.4 field goal percentage through 42 games, 41 he's played. He's got a 47.4 field goal percentage. Klay Thompson in his age 25 year, 47%. Desmond Bane this season, 42.8%, averaging 8.5 three-point shots per 36 minutes. Klay Thompson, 42.5% on 8.8 three-point attempts. The rebounds, the assists, the steals, they're all in line. It's absolutely amazing when you look at it. When you look at the shooting lines of Desmond Bane compared to Klay Thompson, again, Desmond Bane in his age 23 year, Klay Thompson in his age 25 year, Desmond Bane, 47.4% from the field, Klay Thompson, 47%, Desmond Bane, 42.8% from three, Klay Thompson, 42.5% from three, Desmond Bane, 88.9% from the free throw line. Klay Thompson, 87.3% from the free throw line. The true shooting percentages, Desmond Bane, 59.5%. Klay Thompson, 59.7%. It is eye-opening in terms of the quality of their shooting production just how close Desmond Bane is to Klay Thompson. And so the whole point of doing this is that with Klay Thompson or with Desmond Bane once again playing against the Warriors and Klay Thompson returning to play against the Grizzlies for the first time in over 2 years, it's amazing just how productive Desmond Bane is being. And the fact that you can reasonably, logically compare his production this year to the offensive output of Klay Thompson when he was at his peak, that's pretty impressive. Again, I'm not saying Desmond Bane's Klay Thompson. He's not. But in terms of the quality of shooting, and there's not that much difference in the volume of their shooting, that's how spectacular Desmond Bane has been. And once again, that is something that definitely needed to materialize for this Grizzlies team to have the type of season that they are, in which they're going to be in a matchup of two top five teams in the NBA this year as they take on the Warriors. So pretty impressive stuff from Desmond Bane. But if you want a comparison, if you want an idea of just how special Desmond Bane's season so far this year has been, go compare his early season, go compare his early career numbers to Klay Thompson. You'll be pretty amazed at how similar they are. But as for tonight, what's important is that Desmond Bane and Ja Morant once again step up. That's going to be the key to tonight's game. And the thing that I'll say is this, is that when it comes to the Grizzlies and the Warriors playing against each other, I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind, or that there should be any doubt in anybody's mind, that the Warriors are clearly the better team right now than the Grizzlies. And that's no insult to the Grizzlies. It's a compliment. The Warriors are the better team because they simply have one of the best players, if not the best player in the world right now, and that's Steph Curry. Now, LeBron's probably playing at a higher level, but obviously Steph Curry over the 2021 calendar year, he played on the level of just about anybody. Nikola Jokic, Giannis, Luka, LeBron to end last year. Compare Steph to anybody over last season, and it's amazing. After the injuries that he had in the 2019-2020 season, it's amazing how well Steph Curry's come back to be his old self once again. But, of course, the story for tonight, as it was on Sunday night, is Klay Thompson is back. Now, it's going to take Klay Thompson a bit of time to be able to get his feet under him, to get back to maybe being the Klay Thompson of old. If he is, the Warriors are going to be a very, very tough team to beat. But the Grizzlies, and again, I understand it's been without Klay Thompson in the fold, the Grizzlies over the past year have been very, very competitive against the Warriors. Obviously, the close games that they played in May, the Grizzlies beating the Warriors to be able to get into the play-in, to the two games that they played so far this year where the Grizzlies stunned the Warriors in San Francisco earlier in the season, fourth game of the year, a great second-half comeback led by their defense to get a win. Then, of course, the last time when Dylan Brooks was playing, Steph Curry just would not be denied. The Warriors were 19 of 40 from three, and Steph Curry scored 45 points. Well, the Grizzlies themselves, it's very simple. Number one, they can't let Steph Curry do that. If you're going to let the Warriors make over 15 threes, shoot nearly 50% from three, and you're going to let Steph Curry hit 45 points, you're not going to beat the Warriors. You're not. It's very, very hard to do. It would take Ja Morant having a 40 to 50-point night himself for the Grizzlies to have a chance in that situation. And something that's going to impact the Grizzlies tonight, something that is going to be hard to overcome, is that Dylan Brooks has done a very good job on Steph Curry. The last three times that Dylan Brooks has played Steph Curry was 11 of 31 from the field and 4 of 15 from 3 against Dylan Brooks when Dylan Brooks was his primary defender. Now, for whatever value you want to put on that, you know, that's up to you. But if you see a trend where Steph Curry has struggled or he shot worse in recent history against the Grizzlies than he has against the rest of the NBA, and then you look at specific player matchups and he struggled specifically against Dylan Brooks, you see the impact of a Dylan Brooks. And the Grizzlies are going to miss Dylan Brooks tonight. They definitely are, because this is the type of matchup where Dillon Brooks makes a difference. You know he's going to be amped up. You know that he's going to do an effective job against his assignment. And the big thing is that it allows for the other Grizzlies to, again, fall in place, be in their defensive positioning to make the most of what they can get done. But the Grizzlies' one win this season, this NBA season, was without Dillon Brooks. The mixture, the recipe for success that the Grizzlies were able to dial into against the Warriors earlier this season was Ja Morant matching Steph Curry in terms of offensive production, and then the Grizzlies being able to create havoc through their defensive effort at the end of the game to get turnovers, lead it to offense, slow Steph Curry down enough, and able to get the victory. So three big keys for me tonight for the Grizzlies are simply this. One, they once again need Ja Morant and Desmond Bane to be the better combined backcourt against Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, or even Steph Curry and Jordan Poole. That to me stands out. The Grizzlies need to have the better backcourt tonight. And we know that they've shown they can do it. They did it against Chris Paul and Devin Booker. They did it against Kevin Durant and James Harden. This Grizzlies team, the duo of Ja Morant and Desmond Bane, have plenty of reference points to show they can be the best backcourt on any given night against any duo of players in the NBA. So that would be a big, big boost for the Grizzlies if they had the more productive backcourt in tonight's game. The other big thing to me is that the Grizzlies must win, and the Warriors are likely going to be healthy. It seems only James Wiseman is going to be out for tonight's game. The Grizzlies need to significantly outproduce the Warriors when Steph Curry is off the court. In other words, the Grizzlies need to win the bench minutes, and it's not going to be that easy with how deep the Warriors are. But if the Grizzlies can win those bench minutes, that's another huge step in the right direction. But the other big thing that stands out that's going to win this game for the Grizzlies tonight is their defense. And it's once again locking in to both be opportunistic and disciplined. The Grizzlies' opportunistic nature won them the game. Their ability to create turnovers won them the game earlier this year. But their lack of discipline guarding the three-point line lost them the game the second time that they played the Warriors. That's what stands out. That's what currently is in place for this Grizzlies team tonight. They have got to have a balanced, focused effort of being opportunistic, because you can force the Warriors into turnovers, but the Grizzlies have also got to make sure, especially with Dillon Brooks not available, they've got to make sure that they guard the three-point line. So it's going to take the Grizzlies playing at one of their best efforts. They're going to have to play one of their best games tonight to get the victory against the Warriors, as it should be. That's why the Warriors are a legitimate title contender. And while the Grizzlies are, whether or not you believe they truly are, they're inching closer to that conversation. But if Ja and Bane can show they're the better backcourt tonight, if the Grizzlies can win the bench minutes, or at the very least, a better way to put it, if the Grizzlies can win the minutes where Steph Curry is sitting down, and if the Grizzlies can balance opportunistic efforts along with discipline efforts on defense, attempting to create turnovers while defending the three well, the Grizzlies should find themselves in a very good position. It's going to be an outstanding night. It's going to be an incredible night at the FedEx Forum. I talked with John Roser of Grind City Media over the weekend. One thing that he highly encouraged, if you're someone that's going to the game tonight, get there early. That's how special Steph Curry's pregame warm-up truly is. But overall, it's going to be an outstanding night. And this is the byproduct of how well the Grizzlies are playing. For a city and for a culture and an environment here in Memphis that has been recognized as being one of the best fan environments in the league, having as many meaningful games during the regular season as possible to this level with how well the Grizzlies are playing, this is another benefit of the Grizzlies playing well. The fans get to experience more important, fun games like they will tonight. The Grizzlies can get it done. They can get the victory tonight. They're going to have to play one of their better games of the season. But if any indication has been there over the past several weeks, it's that the Grizzlies have shown among teams in the NBA, they do one of the better jobs of dialing up one of their better games anytime that they need to. And it's going to be fun to see tonight. Hope you have fun. We'll have all the reaction on the postgame edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Until then, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.